Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph, broadcasting this week from Mexico City. This is the 197th edition of the program. On the broadcast this week, I will be speaking with Ivo, who is a central organizer in Amsterdam that has been deeply involved in housing movements in Amsterdam, the squatting movement. Ivo is a designer and has been involved in the organizing of many community art spaces, including OT301, including many others that merge the struggle for housing rights and the arts and activism. There are many major cultural institutions in Amsterdam that have a history in squatting, and also some that continue to be operated as collective, nonprofit community spaces that were born as squats. As gentrification continues to commodify cities around the world, I think that this conversation with Ivo is a really interesting and important example of the ways that independent, autonomous community action can create a different city landscape. These are all projects which we'll hear about, where people work together at a very grassroots level in defiance of the law to sustain, develop, and maintain squatted community centers and housing within Amsterdam. So here is my conversation with Ivo for Free City Radio.
I'm Ivo. I'm doing a lot of things. I'm a designer, musician, writer, organizer, programmer, you know, busy with a lot of things that I like doing, and involved in the squatting scene in Amsterdam since 1998. So when I came to Amsterdam after finishing art school in Maastricht, already then, in that time, it was hard to find a house. So you know, Amsterdam has always been quite, say, crowded and expensive. So I moved to the city, and I had this you know, kind of dodgy, expensive place. But you know, I was happy to have something, and I met some people then, and you know, for me that was great. I mean, I was just new to the city, and these people, they said to me like, "Hey, listen, we're going to squat this empty hospital building here around the corner. Do you want to join us?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. You know, why not? You know, I was new to the city. I was adventurous. I was open-minded. I was looking for, you know, new things to new people to meet." So I joined, and we squatted the building. And that hospital was quite big. I don't know. I mean, maybe 10,000 square meters or something. And so we squatted it. We started, you know, renovating a little bit because it was demolished a little bit from the inside. And so we started forming this collective of people, mostly artists, painters, dancers, writers, musicians. And so we also set up, you know, a legal body, like a an association. So we had something, you know, in order to also, like, you know, open a bank account, for example, or to apply for things if needed. And so this first building, my first experience with squatting, we have been in that place for about 1.5 years. And in the end, we were living there with about 130 people. And we built our own concert space in the basement. We opened a vegan restaurant. We had exhibition space. You know, rehearsal space for bands and stuff, and you know, it was like, it was a fantastic, like experience to me, You know, that first 1.5 year in Amsterdam, to me, was like mind-blowing. I was like, wow, what just happened to me here? Like, you know, this this space to do things, to experiment, to be like open for, you know, inviting people to come and do stuff, to cooperate on projects, whether it was music or art, or you know, inviting people to come and live with us. You know, we had that space. And you know, also you have to also imagine that in that time, we're talking about end 90s and also beginning 2000s, squatting was still legal, you know, here in Amsterdam or in Holland. It was only in like 2010 that the government that put this the anti-squatting law or the ban on squatting that they put in position, and that's when basically also say the squatting scene, you know, it shrank, it got smaller. But you know, after this first experience in the hospital, we squatted another building, which was the old Film Academy of Amsterdam, which is now, and then we called it the OT301, because it was located on the Overtoom 301. That's the street name, close to the Vondelpark, like a pretty central park in the city. That building was also pretty big, and because it was the Film Academy of Amsterdam before. Also, like building wise, it was great. You know, the ground floor had some bigger spaces. That used to be like the recording studio of the Film Academy. On the second floor, there was a cinema. And so you have to imagine, we broke open the door. We went in, and when we squatted it, and we went through the building. And oh my God, there was a cinema. It was still intact. And so still now, after 24 years, that cinema is still there. We still run that cinema as a cinema. And, you know, the nice thing about the story of the OT301 is that we after we squatted it, we managed to buy it from the city government and turn it into collective ownership. So the project is still there, and I'm still involved. and you know, it's still relevant in the city, as in, you know, because of, you know, the great thing about it is what I love about the building is the function dynamics of it. You know, there is people living there. There is people working there, like artist spaces. So, you know, people painting or making music and stuff. And we have this public functions. We have a concert space that fits 300 people that is open like two or three times by week. We have the cinema, which is like, you know, a proper little cinema space with 75 seats. We have a gallery on the ground floor. We still have a vegan kitchen on the ground floor. We have spaces where people are making music. We have a space for sort of like repetition for people who do theater and more body movement stuff. So yeah, it's this a sort of paradise of possibilities, you know, because of why the fact that we bought it and turned it into collective ownership is why it's still affordable. And why we are still there. If we didn't manage to buy it in that time, we would have been evicted already a long time. Because you have to imagine that a place like this, let's say 2,500 square meters, on this location next to the Vondelpark, in this time now, that is worth, on the market, and everything is a market now, that's worth like 10 million euros or something. It's insane. People are still writing letters to us, like people like real estate project developers, like, hey, do you want to sell it to us? Do you want to sell it to us? But of course, we're never going to sell it. You know, it's like we even built in our structure, you know, like our legal structure, that it's impossible to sell it. And so it's beautiful that there is still spaces like this around. They are the only spaces in Amsterdam left where you can experiment and be busy with, you know, cultural stuff and experiment also with housing and art spaces that are not, you know, driving on finances, basically. And like normally, sometimes people come in the place and they say, well, how's it going? Is everything going well in the building? And then I always say, like, yeah, what do you want to know? You want to know if we're financially doing well, if we make profit. Because then I can say you, we are non-profit. We have to make some money, of course, you know, to pay the bills. But everything we do here is not because we think we can make money on it. We do it because we have a feeling for it. We have a passion for it. We do it from the heart. We do it because we love it. And everybody who is here in this building is here on a sort of voluntary basis because we bought this building in a collective ownership construction, which means that the people that are in the building, when they leave, they have nothing to sell. So you're not there with reasons of speculation, like oh, I'm here now and I know in 10 years time this place is its value is gonna rise and I'm gonna be rich. That's not the case in a place like the OT301 or, you know, a place like the Oki, because they have a construction which basically says, like, okay, you know what we've done? We took this place off the market. We turned it into something that has a social, cultural, arty purpose with this function dynamic that I just mentioned. And we're going to try to keep this like this as long as possible till the eternity. That's how we try to design the organization structure. Yeah, so you know, and that's, I think that's fantastic in a place like Amsterdam, which is gentrified so much over the last 25 years, that it's almost like, you know, impossible for a normal, whatever, teacher or people who work in care or like a bus driver. Those people, they can't live in the city anymore unless they are on the waiting list for social housing for more than 20 years. Yeah, because otherwise, it's impossible to find an affordable place because the market is just, it's crazy. You know, it's just housing is so so expensive that, you know, normal people can't afford it anymore. So the city becomes a place for, you know, the happy few who have a lot of cash, which creates monoculture, makes the city more boring, makes the city more conservative. So yeah, that's what's happening. And luckily there's, you know, there is still this scene of places like the OT301 and the Oki, Saal 100, ADM, Groeneveld, you know, there is places like this. And you know, with this new collective that we started in 2015, which is called Amsterdam Alternative, which is basically a collective of collectives. You know, we make a newspaper every 2 months, which we distribute for free through town. We print 7,000 copies. We publish articles about whatever, climate, arts, culture, housing crisis, free spaces, you know, all the things that we care about and that we think are necessary in the transition to create, say, a world and a society that is fair and healthy and balanced and good for everybody, and not for the happy few. And so with this Amsterdam Alternative organization, we've also started this project called Vrij Beton, which in English would be translated to free concrete. And the aim of this project is to realize new free spaces like the OT301 and like the Oki, but that not going through the route that we took by squatting it and then buying it, because basically that route is closed off now because of the squatting ban. I mean, luckily there are still people squatting, like a new generation, young people who are like, yeah, fuck it, you know, we're gonna squat it because we can't find a house, it's too expensive. So they're doing it which is great. But you know, they don't have like a long term,
viability.
Yeah. So they often, you know, they get evicted pretty quickly. So what we thought, like, okay, if we start this new project called Vrij Beton, Free Concrete, and we use the association that Amsterdam Alternative is as a big collective, and then we're going to try to not squat a place, but we're going to play with the market, and we're going to try to buy places, and we, by buying them, we're going to take them out of the market, put them in a construction like the OT301 or the OKI, which is a collectively owned structure, and make it impossible to sell them in the future, and connect them to, you know, this vision and mission that we have, with this function dynamics, and you know, that's what we're like working on here in Amsterdam to try and make that happen, so that, you know, also young new generations, they have a possibility now and also in the future to do what me and my friends and, you know, the people who've been in the squats here, and also the places like the OT and the OKI that we've been able to buy. But I want my kids who are like, whatever, 5 and 8 years old now, to be able to have that same experience, to have that sort of space, to feel free discover who they are and how they want to live and experiment with, you know, being a collective and you know, seeing who they are in this world. And if we don't fight for having spaces like this, where you can be who you want to be, where you can look how you want to look, where you have the space to be whatever weird or come with strange ideas that are new. If we don't have that place, then I also think we should, as a city, we cannot call ourselves a creative city anymore. Amsterdam is always like promoting itself as the city of the creative industry and the open-minded, great, adventurous city. But it isn't anymore. It isn't. Maybe it has been in the past. I mean, we have a rich history of squatting and arts and culture, but over the last 20 years a lot of that has disappeared, and it's because of gentrification, it's because of the market, it's because of capitalism basically taking over everything. And so if we don't fight to have these free spaces, well, then, you know, in the long term Amsterdam is gonna lose everything which makes the city nice, or which has made the city into what people still also worldwide, what they love about Amsterdam.
This reality is of squatted buildings. You mentioned a lot here. And I think that in the North American context, there's a few examples, let's say in the East Village of New York City, where there was a squatting movement quite serious, and the Mexican context, of course, is at a whole nother level in terms of indigenous territories that are outside of the control of the Mexican state. But in the Canadian context or Quebec context, I think there's still this default, which is that either you get public funding to create cultural institutions that are alternative and maybe not profit-driven, or you're relying on the generosity of, you know, market players. Now, that doesn't leave a lot of room for real alternative spaces. And so, you know, as this gentrification monster continues to eat cities, the sort of actions you're describing are more and more criminalized. Squatting, for example. Why is it important to challenge this notion, given your experience in Amsterdam, this notion that people together collectively can totally have an alternative vision, and that those ideas and that process is valuable and is important?
Well, why is it important? Because, you know, I think if you want to, I mean, basically, I think we most people most people I know and most people I speak to personally agree that the path that we're on, this capitalist neoliberal path of endless growth and consuming and, you know, measuring the success of life by what you can buy or how many houses you own. It's ridiculous. It has to end. I mean, we cannot live like this longer. I mean, it's destroying societies. It's destroying cities. It's creating wars. It's creating climate disasters. It's just, you know, it has to stop. And people sometimes, I don't know if you know Mark Fisher, who wrote this book about capitalism, and also, you know, he also mentioned there, like, you know, people can more easily, you know, imagine the end of the world than imagine the end of capitalism, because it seems like there is no alternative. But I do think there is alternatives. There is alternatives in the cooperative movement, in the collective ownership movement, in the thoughts of regeneration, in the thoughts of degrowth, in the thoughts of the commons. I mean, but also indigenous perspectives on land ownership, where people say, like, well, we don't own the land. Why should we own the land? We are part of nature, and land cannot be owned, like air cannot be owned, and sunlight cannot be owned, and water cannot be owned. But we live in this society, in this world, where people want to own everything, and they want to own it privately. I mean, I saw there is even this company, you know, who's selling pieces of in the universe, like pieces of the moon and pieces of whatever, Jupiter and something. And I think, like, my God, how did we get so insane to even think about something like that? Because when we talk about the alternatives again, when we talk about the commons or collective ownership, when we talk about, you know, forming collectives, you know, then we think about, or have to think about, that we as people, we are part of something bigger. You know, an individual is an individual only if there is, you know, a community, if there is a bigger, you know, a bigger thing to be part of. Because nobody can be an individual, live by him or herself, do everything. You know, you always depend on what people have done before you, all the generations before us, what they have done for us. Those are collective efforts. Basically, cities are collective efforts. Knowledge is a collective effort. And I mean, if we cannot realize that we depend on each other and that we can only survive and live in harmony with nature, if we live as collectives and live in harmony also with nature and non-human life, in a sort of collective way, if we don't realize and act upon that, then, you know, it's basically, you know, that's the end, because it's going to explode or implode or whatever you want to call it. It's like, it's impossible to continue this path. And so that's why I'm here in Amsterdam with Amsterdam Alternative and the collectives that we're in. And, you know, we're trying to talk about this, discuss this, make people more aware of it, make people aware also in, you know, students in Amsterdam, that there is more possible than the commercial mainstream. Because, you know, like a lot of people, you know, young people, they're like in this tunnel where they think, like, oh, you know, I'm going to be a good person, a successful person, if I do my education, if then I get a good paid, a well-paid job, if then I form a family, if I buy a house, if I own a house, if I can go on holiday. And, you know, that's this it's this narrative that is wrong. And if we keep teaching people that this is the narrative that you have to live by, well, we keep living on the track of disaster. Whereas if we start explaining to people, young people also, like, hey, listen, life is not all about making profits, you know. It's not about, you know, growing and growing and growing. No, it's about, you know, doing things together and living also from the heart.
Great to talk to you. Thank you. That was a conversation with Ivo Schmitz of the Amsterdam Squatting Movement. He's been involved in many projects, including OT301, many important projects that merge culture, housing rights, and the squatting movement. Thank you so much to Ivo for being on the program today, and to my friend Sarah for helping facilitate this interview. This is the second in two programs where I've featured the voices of social movements and activists from Amsterdam. These are interviews I recorded in Amsterdam in October. Free City Radio is hosted and produced by me, Stefan Christoph, and we air weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CJLO 1690 a.m. also in Geauguagé, Montreal on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesdays, on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, BC on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto at 5:30 a.m. on Fridays, and now on CKCU 95.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. We are also a podcast. You can look us up on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just look up Free City Radio and please tell a friend. Our archives are at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Thank you so much for being with us, and I will speak to you next week.
Files.
Radio.
Radio. Radio. Radio. Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Colors of light, colors of light, colors of light, colors of light.